When you say, we're so good at doing mercy. We're so good at doing food closets and crop walks and kits. We like taking care of people's needs. It's something we do really well. It is something we do well. But if we don't, as Christians, start looking at the larger forces of our world that continue to impoverish people and threaten to impoverish all of us, not only of our physical well-being, but our spiritual and emotional and mental health, we will not be doing what Jesus is leading us to do. Micah tells us that what God requires us is to walk humbly with God, to love mercy, and to do justice. Now, defining justice is a difficult thing, but it can begin with what it says out on our bulletin, that character is how you treat people who can do nothing for you. By that measure, if that is justice, then the way we treat those who do not benefit us illuminates just how far gone our world is. We love mercy. We do it well. But mercy without justice is really mere sentiment. And justice without mercy is tyranny. Jesus held them in balance. And we are called to move into the future, loving mercy and doing justice. And what that means for this congregation is that we begin to ask the hard questions of our day. Not with an idea that we have to convince somebody of our agenda, but so that the hard questions of our day get a hearing where we respect each other, listen to each other, and listen to the Spirit. When we talk about economics, when we talk about power, when we talk about what we do and in whose name we do it, and we do so respectfully, knowing that we will disagree sometimes, we begin to create a community that is a powerful witness to a world that cannot speak except in extremes, and cannot speak without provoking fear, and cannot speak and act without taking advantage of someone else because they don't matter. But a community of faith that loves mercy and does justice and is able to hold in balance and listen to each other with respect and yearn for the time when all people will share in God's goodness, that all people would have green pasture and still waters, and all people would have God's presence in the face of death and would be fed in the presence of their enemies. Then we might be pointing to a future worth living. Another place where we might step into the future and step past our complacency is to remember that God is never just about heaven. Yes, of course, Jesus died for our sins. And of course, part of that promise means that when we die, we go to heaven. But the problem is that there is a time between right now and your death. And like it or not, God expects you and I, you and me, split in the infinitive. I never get that right. God expects us to live like we pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Dare we pray that prayer and live in the complacency that while our spot is in heaven is assured, that we can put our feet up and rest until then? No. We cannot. It is not an option. Following Jesus and being a part of the community of faith is not a leisure time activity. It is not the kind of thing you do when you have the time. Rather, following Jesus will be how your life is. And without putting too much fear into your life, I will say unequivocally and faithfully to the Scriptures, if you pretend like you don't know Jesus in this place, or if you relegate Jesus to leisure time activities or the time you have left over, do not be surprised if your reception in heaven is somewhat chilly and not all the glorious things you had hoped for. There will be an accounting for how we spend our life before our death that will determine in great measure how we will enjoy the fruits of heaven. And you know, if you have read any part of the Bible, that this is so. Finally, I believe that this church is called to do something very special for the future of this community. And it involves something that you do routinely with great joy. Something that you have a passion for that makes you smile every time you're able to do something with it. You all love people who are under the age of 25 in ways that are just incredible. It seems to me that when your eyes and your hearts and your minds are at their most free and joyful, is when you see a young person or a young adult doing well. And somehow you begin to feel a little hope for our world and our church. And it seems to me that when you have 70 or 80 Cub Scouts, and you have 75 or 80 Boy Scouts, you have numerous Girl Scout leaders and Boy Scout leaders in your midst, we have 28 high school youth in our congregation. We don't see them very often, but when you do, you're happy to see them. And you know, with a little effort, we might see them more often. And when you have a preschool that is as recognizably excellent as ours is, and even that, you have elementary school children, while today is not a measure, we have a boatload of them. And then we have some young adults. We don't see them very often, but that's okay. They come, and when they do, we're happy. What would happen if this church committed themselves to the very simple mission and ministry that no person would grow to the age of 25 without having been shared the love of God and given the opportunity to witness or to accept Jesus and to live their life as a follower of Jesus? And what happened if every person who grew out of this congregation at the age of 25 walked into the world ready to be a witness and a disciple for Jesus Christ, knowing because you did it, been loved by God, knowing the basics of the faith, and able to live it? What do you think the future might hold if we acted in this present moment precisely like that? I will tell you that it might be the salvation of this church, or it might be the death of us. But it will be a better future for the world if we send young people into the world with the character and formation that comes from knowing the God of love and Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. We're already doing it with our Cub Scouts, our Boy Scouts, and we're getting ready to charter a venture crew, which is boys and girls ages 14 through 20, and we have plenty of them who want to do this. Folks, it may not always be visible on Sunday morning, but then again, Sunday morning for 1 hour is not usually the time God does all his best work. But I gotta tell you, God is working, and you're a part of what God is doing. And I know that while you take comfort in the words of the 23rd Psalm, that after a while, if you sit around too long and are inactive too long, you begin to wish to move. And what better way to move than with Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, the one who will lead us? Let us pray.